Welcome to the Next Level Soul Podcast, where we ask the big questions about life. Why are we here? Is this all there is? What is my soul's mission? We attempt to answer those questions and more by bringing you raw and inspiring conversations with some of the most fascinating and thought-provoking guests on the planet today. I am your host, Alex Ferrari. I'm always looking to help the Next Level Soul audience take their soul to the next level. And I've been able to partner with Mind Valley to present you guys with a ton of free masterclasses between 60 and 90 minutes covering mind, body, soul, relationships, and conscious entrepreneurship. Some of these masterclasses are taught by spiritual masters, relationship experts, best-selling authors, legends in the personal growth and spirituality space, and so much more. So if you want to sign up for any of our free mind, body, and soul masterclasses, just head over to nextlevelsoul.com/free. Now, we all have heard the term emotional baggage, but is your emotional baggage truly killing you, hurting you, stopping you from having good health? Well, today on the show, we have Dr. Bradley Nelson, the author of The Emotion Code and his new book, The Body Code. And Dr. Brad is an internationally renowned teacher and healer with a passion of creating healers out of everyone on earth. Dr. Brad and I had a wonderful conversation about how to release toxic emotional baggage in your life and how he, in his practice, literally has seen people with chronic diseases and conditions just heal instantly by releasing toxic emotional baggage. It is fascinating, and he's been doing this for years. I can't wait for you to hear this episode, so let's dive in. I'd like to welcome to the show, Bradley Nelson. How are you doing, Bradley?
Well, fantastic, Alex. Great to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, my friend. I am excited to talk to you about your work. It's fairly interesting, and I've never really heard of your approach before to health and to healing and things like that. So I'm really dying to get into it. So first question, my friend, what is the Emotion Code?
Well, the Emotion Code is a book by that name, and the book is about the method called the Emotion Code. And the Emotion Code is a really simple way that people of all ages and all experience levels can find and remove their own emotional baggage. Now, what emotional baggage is requires a little bit of explanation, because it has to do with the energy of the emotions that we experience. So that might sound a little bit strange, but let me explain. Okay. If you look at your hand, now your hand looks pretty solid, right? And if you slap it down on the desk, it makes a nice thunk sound. But if you take a big enough microscope and you put your hand under that microscope and you start zooming in past the skin, past the cells that make up your hand, past the organelles that make up the cells, and you keep magnifying your hand more and more and more, eventually you're looking at maybe a strand of DNA. And if you keep zooming in somewhere over a million times magnification, eventually you're going to be looking at a single individual atom. And you'll notice that the next atom is a long distance away. And if you look inside that atom, you see there's really nothing in there. It's just empty space. And there's some little infinitesimally tiny energies that are zipping around at the speed of light. And that's really what we are, is we're made of atoms. And atoms are made of energy. Well, everything is made of energy. Nikola Tesla said, if you want to understand the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy and frequency and vibration. So quantum physicists have been trying to get these ideas through our heads for over 100 years now, that our bodies, and in fact, the whole entire world, the Earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything is made of energy. And they talk about how we're all interconnected, and that there are some really interesting things when you get down to the very basic fundamental units of reality. it's very strange. In fact, it was the great physicist Richard Feynman said, if you don't think quantum physics is weird, he said, you don't understand quantum physics, because when you get down to the smallest particles of things, it's very interesting. Well, anyway, what happens is sometimes we're experiencing intense emotions. Sometimes we go through those emotional events we'd rather not go through. Mm-hmm. Like we go through a divorce, or we go through a breakup, or our parents argue when we were a kid, or we're bullied or abused, or we have a terrible job and a toxic boss. I mean, all kinds of things happen to us. So when you're experiencing an intense emotion, what's happening is on a quantum level, at the smallest level of reality, your body is taking on this new vibration. So we have a chart of emotions that we use that looks like this. I've got one in English here or not. Here we go. Here's one in English. Looks like this. There are 60 emotions on this chart, and it's divided up into two columns and six rows. And so every one of these emotions is a different frequency in the body. And that's just an interesting thing to understand. But when you're feeling an intense emotion, if that emotion is too powerful, if you're really angry or you're really resentful or you're really grieved or something, the energy of that emotion can become a little bit too powerful to be processed, so that when that event is over, when the bully moves away or the divorce is finalized or you quit that job and get a better one, you carry baggage with you. And what that emotional baggage does to us is it affects us in two really profound ways. When we trap an emotion, that emotional energy stays with us in the form of a little ball of emotional energy. So literally like a little ball of anger or resentment or grief or whatever. And that can cause physical pain. In fact, one of my favorite stories that I remember very well when I was in practice was a guy that came into me, and he had really severe back pain on a 0 to 10 scale, where 0 is no pain at all, and 10 is, you know, call 911 or go to the ER. He was in 9, and it had been like that for a number of weeks. And he was really in pain. He came to me because he just didn't know what else to do. And I tested him and found that he had a trapped emotion. Some emotional energy was stuck in his body, and it was contributing to this pain. So I tested a little bit further, and I'll explain in a minute or so how we do that. But I found that this was from 20 years before. He'd gone through some experience, and he immediately remembered what it was. He said, oh yeah. He said, I was working at this place and I was falsely accused of something. And I got really upset, really angry. It really messed me up. And so, so that was it. And I released that trapped emotion, which just takes a few seconds. And the pain immediately went from a 9 to a 0, right? 0. And this guy's, he's walking around in circles in my office, and he's bending over and twisting this way and that way and exclaiming, he can't believe it. And I was grateful that it worked so well. Now think about this, Alex, 90% of the physical pain that people have is actually due to emotional baggage like this. So in other words, what we haven't realized in the past, we haven't taken into account the fact that these bodies of ours are just very complex energy fields. And we take these emotions with us. And when we go through these difficult things, we survive, we move on, but yet we carry those things with us in many cases, and then they end up causing physical pain. It's one of the symptoms. Well, anyway, so this guy couldn't believe it. And a couple of days later, he came back in to see me. Now, before I tell you this part, understand that when you have a trapped emotion, it's a ball of energy from about the size of a baseball to about the size of a softball is what we think. And they can lodge anywhere in the body. And then wherever they lodge, they have this distorting effect on the energy field of the body. Well, because your body, that's all it is really, is an energy field. When you distort that energy field, what happens is you interfere with the flow of energy in the meridians in that area, the blood flow, the lymph flow to some degree, the chemical reactions and so on. So pain is one of the results. And it might take 10, 20 years for the pain to show up, but that's what happened with him. So when I released that trapped emotion, all of a sudden that distorting force in his energy field was gone. So the pain's gone. Well, here's what happened. A couple of days later, he came back in to see me for a recheck. And he said, you know, my pain is still gone. And he said, I still can't believe it. But he said, when I came in here, I had another problem I didn't tell you about. He said, for as long as I can remember, I've basically been what you'd call a rageaholic. And he said, I'm always yelling at my wife and my kids, and I got to watch the road rage. I've been to anger management several times. Hasn't really helped me. And he said,
we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Since you released that trapped emotion for me, I feel really different. I just feel kind of relaxed and kind of peaceful. And he said, things that used to set me off don't really set me off now. And he said, how did you do that? How does that work? And at the time, I was releasing emotional baggage purely for the physical effect that it would have. So I said, I really don't know. But think about this. What I believe is that when you have a trapped emotion, like this guy, literally, he's got this ball of energy, invisible, and it's anger. It's that frequency in his back. So when a situation would come along in his life where he might tend to feel angry, well, anger is a frequency that you kind of fall into, and he would fall right into it because part of his body was already feeling that emotion, that vibration, which is really wild. But if you think about it, when people release, they start releasing emotional baggage, what they find is that they become less of a victim to these emotions that have been running their lives. And so so that's what happened with this guy. And of course, we've seen, you know, thousands and thousands, and we have thousands of practitioners now all over the world doing this. And there's, I don't know how many people, hundreds of thousands, maybe millions doing this work all over the world. I've spoken to millions of people, done almost probably maybe 2000 interviews since the book came out in 2007. The Emotion Code book actually came out in July of 2007, right around the same time as the iPhone, just to give you a time frame.
So let me ask you then, because I find this fascinating with the energy, and I've had many guests on from neuroscientists to gurus who talk about energy fields and that we are made of energy. Now quantum physics is really proving the facts that we are just, you go deep enough, there's nothing there. We're right. Just energy. So is that, you know, to kind of bring it into something, an example where people can really kind of grasp, you know, when you meet somebody and they have that heavy energy or that kind of toxic energy, you can literally feel when you meet people. And I go, the best example I always use is, you know, when you deal with a car salesman sometimes and you feel dirty afterwards, you literally feel dirty. Like, oh my God, I got to take a shower after I met that guy, or some sleazy guy trying to pick you up at the bar or something like that. If you're a woman, you literally feel the energy off of these people. Is that what you're kind of talking about in regards to just giving people an example of what energy and how it truly is something? It's not like this kind of woo-woo metaphysics kind of thing. It's now coming into the scientific field.
Right. Well, it really is. I mean, and it's like Richard Feynman said, it's weird. The reality of who we are and what these bodies are, it's not what we think. You know, to make a point, some quantum physicists recently just made a calculation. They said if you could remove all the empty space from everyone's body on Earth, you could fit all 5.8 billion people in the world into a box the size of a sugar cube. I mean,
that's fascinating.
yeah, it's crazy, right? But anyway, that's reality. And so there have been many doctors and many scientists over the last 30 or 40 years who have made predictions and who have said, I mean, even going back to Albert Einstein, he said future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. That's kind of weird, right? But lots of these doctors, lots of scientists over the last 30 or 40 years have said the same thing, that the medicine of the future is going to be energy medicine, because that's really what our bodies are. And so so the emotion code is just a really simple way to give people back that ability to find their own emotional baggage, because emotional baggage and trapped emotions, what we find are the single most common imbalance that cause the most trouble for people. And so, you know, let me give you another example. There was a woman that came into me many years ago when I was back, I practiced for about 20 years in one form or another. One day a woman comes in to me and she thinks she's having a heart attack. She's got crushing chest pain, difficulty breathing. Left side of her face is numb. Her left arm is totally numb. Boy, it looks like a heart attack, right? Well, my office is right next to a medical center. So I told my staff, look, we might need an ambulance, but give me just 1 minute with this woman and let me see what's going on. So I started doing some testing and very quickly figured out that her symptoms were being caused, at least in part, by some emotional energy, by some emotional baggage. And so I asked some more questions. And what I was doing is I was muscle testing her to get answers from her subconscious mind. The body is essentially a binary computer. You can ask questions and you can get answers. And so I figured out that this had occurred 3 years before. The emotion, by the way, was grief. It had occurred 3 years before. And when I arrived at that, all of a sudden she bursts into tears and she says, I can't believe that's affecting me. I thought I dealt with all that. And I said, oh, what in the world happened to you? And she said that 3 years before, she found out her husband had been having an affair. So she confronted him and the whole marriage just blew up and it was really sad and really ugly. So she cried buckets of tears and she was really deeply in love with that guy. And so was so betrayed and so sad and so full of grief that it was over, that emotional energy, that grief became trapped in her body. So here she is 3 years later in my office thinking she's having a heart attack. So I swiped down her back a few times down the governing meridian, right down the middle of the back to release that emotional baggage, that trapped emotion. And the chest pain was instantly gone. The difficulty breathing, gone. The feeling came back into her face and into her arm within about 3 seconds. And about 10 minutes later, she left the office after joking with me and my staff. And when she left, I remember sitting down at my desk and my head was kind of spinning, thinking, wow, what did I just witness? But you see, those emotions that we experience that can be so powerful at the time, you know, we think we've moved on, but yet sometimes we're carrying that energy still with us, and then it can manifest as other problems down the road.
So how do you identify this? Because I think everybody at this point, that if you live, you have emotional baggage. If you live, you have some sort of trauma. I mean, right. And nobody gets away from, we all have something. Something happened to us along the way. It happens to us on a daily basis when you're a kid. I feel like a lot of the heavy stuff happens when you're children because it affects us in a different way. When you get older, you have better tools to handle certain things. So a lot of the trauma that we carry is things that we saw when we were kids or happened to us when we were kids or younger. But we all have something. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, everybody has emotional baggage.
So how do you identify when, like both examples that you gave me, they had no idea that they were carrying around this baggage. So how do you, if you're feel like your back hurts, which everybody's back hurts, especially as you get older. But if you have a pain or you have something going on, how do you identify what's causing it and release that?
Well, you have to tune into the subconscious mind, because you see, we all have a conscious mind, which is where we spend all of our waking hours and we work our jobs and we earn our certificates and our grades and so on, and we have our relationships. But the conscious mind is only a tiny, really an infinitesimally tiny fraction of your total intelligence. The rest of your intelligence is below the waterline. It's the subconscious mind, we call it. And the subconscious mind, on the other hand, is this incredibly powerful computer system that is remembering everything you've ever done, every face you've ever seen in a crowd, everything you've ever eaten or tasted or touched or smelled. The whole history of your health or disease is logged in your subconscious mind. In fact, you know, they say that there are about 37 trillion cells now. That's the estimate if you're an adult. That's how many cells you have in your body. And they say that the average cell is equivalent in complexity to a full-size aircraft carrier with jets on the ramp with their engines spooled up, ready to take off, and thousands of people working at their own individual jobs. That's a single cell. You got 37 trillion of those. And I believe your subconscious mind knows exactly what's going on with every single one of those cells.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
So it's a level of intelligence that we have really barely even begun to scratch the surface of. Well, what we do know now that we can do is we can ask questions and get answers. And so, so to give you an idea, let me share a story with you. There was a, I did an event once, it was just a 1 hour event. And at the beginning, I was standing by the door greeting people as they were coming in. And I happened to meet this woman who showed up and brought her daughter. So later on, as I'm teaching, I asked for a volunteer. So this young woman comes up, she's about 21 years old. And so I had her hold out her arm parallel to the floor. Mm-hmm. And I'm pressing down on her wrist basically and asking questions. And so I asked, do you have a trapped emotion that we can release? And the arm, she was able to resist me. That was a yes. And then using the chart of emotions, I asked, well, is it in column A? And I got yeses and nos, column B, odd rows, even rows. And I was able to figure out the emotion. The emotion was actually in column A, row one. And the emotion is forlorn. Now, forlorn is to feel all alone and hopeless and desolate and kind of all rolled into one, right? And so so then I asked, okay, well, how old are you? 21. Okay, did this happen earlier than 20? Yes. Earlier than 10? That was strong. Yes. Earlier than 5? Yes. Earlier than birth? No. Okay. So it was in the first year of your life? Yeah. First year of your life. And so I thought, well, she's not going to remember anything that happened in the first year of her life. And so I said, hey, do you remember anything that happened? She said, no. So I thought, oh, wait, she showed up with her mother. I looked out at the audience and there's her mother and she's as white as a sheet, right? And I pointed at her and I said, hey, have any idea what this might be about? And she was really kind of embarrassed, but she said she thought maybe she did. She said that during those years, she used to use cloth diapers and, with safety pins. And so one day she accidentally pinned her daughter to her diaper.
Oh,
right.
Oh,
yeah.
Old school. Oh man.
Yep. Old school is right. And she didn't know about it until she changed her the next time.
Oh my
so
gosh.
Poor baby. Oh yeah. So, I mean, it gives you a glimpse into how overwhelmed she must've been. Right.
Oh my God.
So here's this poor baby. She must've been crying nonstop. She's got this, she's in terrible pain. Nobody's coming to help her. And so the feeling that she ends up with is this feeling of being forlorn. And that emotional energy was so powerful, it became trapped in her body. So her mom finds the pin, pulls it out, is horrified, etc. Meanwhile, that energy of feeling forlorn is lodged in that baby's body. So 21 years later, here she is, and I'm working on her. And I ask, okay, is that what created this emotion of forlorn? The answer was yes. So then I released it by just swiping a few times down the middle of her back, with a magnet. And then she went back and sat down. And I kind of forgot about this. About 10 days later, I get an email from this girl's mother. And she said, listen, she said, my daughter has had a problem. She didn't tell you about this because she just lives with it. But she said she's had a problem with her hip and her knee on one. I think it was on her right side, she said. And she said, it's kind of just something that's annoying, but she lives with it. And she said, gradually, it started about 10 years ago, and gradually it's been slowly getting worse. It's kind of a chronic thing. And she said, it's been starting to affect the way that she walks a little bit. And we've taken her to different people and nobody's been able to figure this out. But she said, the moment you release that trapped emotion of forlorn from her, from being pinned to her diaper, that pain in her hip and in her knee has been completely gone. And she said, I didn't know if this was a fluke or what. She said, I waited a week. She said, I waited 10 days to see if this was real. And she said, it apparently is not coming back. And she said, not only that, she said, my daughter's feeling this new sense of lightness of being that she's never felt before. And she's telling everybody about this. Now think about this. That girl had that emotion, that trapped emotional energy of forlorn lodged in her body from that incident when she was in the first year of her life. Now, she had no conscious memory of that, But this is why we tap into the subconscious mind, because it remembers and knows everything, see? And so that's really the secret to why the emotion code is so powerful, because we don't rely on the conscious mind. You know, Alex, there are lots of different methods of working with emotional baggage, and most of them rely on you. Well, what do you think this was about? You know, how did you get along with your parents? Blah, blah, blah. But with the emotion code, we find sometimes people have inherited emotional energy from mom or dad at birth or at conception, right? That goes back sometimes for generations, and the subconscious mind even knows about things like that. So that's the secret. I'm telling you right now, mark my words, the future of healing is going to involve tapping into that internal computer, the subconscious mind, because that's where all the answers are.
Well, let me ask you a question then. You mentioned muscle testing, and I'm very familiar with, I'm familiar with muscle testing. I've gone through some practitioners who've done it over the years. Can you explain to the audience a little bit of what muscle testing is and how it kind of affects you?
Right. Well, basically, here's how it works. Your body is essentially a binary computer, which means it's basically in an on state or an off state energetically. And it's almost always, most of the time, it's in an on state, like a light switch that's flipped on, okay? So in other words, if you go up to any average person and you ask them to hold their arm out, and then to resist your downward pressure on their arm, you're pressing down on this area, they're going to be able to resist you because, you know, they're switched on energetically. But if you have somebody tell a lie, like for example, if I were there testing you, and if you were to hold your arm out parallel to the floor, and if you were to say something true, like if you were to say, my name is Alex, if I were to press down on your arm, you'd be able to resist me because that's a congruent statement. On the other hand, if you were to tell a lie, like if you were to say, my name is Bob, at that point, if I were to press down, your arm would go weak. Now, all of you that are listening or watching this, you can try this on anybody that you want to. And it works because you see, there's an unconscious reaction that happens when you say something that's true or untrue. Think about it. That's how the lie detector test works, right? If you're telling lies, well, the person reading it is going to be able to see that your body is reacting in spite of, you know, whatever you might not want your body to react. You want the lie to be believed, but your body, you know, has its own way of reacting. And that's kind of how this is.
It's fascinating because one of my favorite things to do at either at like get-togethers or parties or even in my office sometimes is when people don't believe this. They're like, oh, this is all BS. I've done it to physicians who've completely just, it can't compute in their mind. So they completely dismiss it. And they're like, no, this is why you did this. And like, whatever you want to say. But what I do is two things. One, I'll either give them, I take two envelopes, put one has Splenda in it, which is a chemical. One has raw sugar. And I don't tell them which one's which. And I give them the envelope, I put it to your chest. And then I do a muscle test on them, and the sugar, they have strength. The Splenda, they go weak.
Yep.
Because it affects the energy field. And I do the same thing. I go, here's a bottle of water. Put the bottle of water to your chest. Strong. Here's a bottle of rum. Put it to your chest. Completely goes weak. Yep. So, and it, when you see that, you're just like, it doesn't compute. It doesn't make sense. But then you start understanding of like, well, when you eat, you know, In-N-Out burger, it tastes good, but you generally are not the strongest after you eat a meal like that.
Right.
But if you eat a meal that is healthy and full of life, like let's say even a really healthy salad or a bowl of quinoa with you, whatever you want to say, you feel stronger. So there's energy in the foods you eat as well.
Sure.
Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely fair. Yep. That's reality. I mean, when you start to wrap your mind around the idea that these quantum physicists have been telling us for so long that everything is energy, then it starts to make more sense. I mean, if you eat foods, for example, that are alive, like greens and things like that, and vegetables and so on, things that are alive have a much higher level of energy. Things that are dead don't have the same level of energy. And I think we understand that intuitively. But what's really interesting is is how much of an effect our emotional baggage is having on everybody in the world. And not only causing physical pain, but I think 34 years now that I've been involved with this kind of work in one way or another, what I have found is that emotional baggage is always present in every disease process that I've seen over all of those decades. Think about that.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
So in other words, if you're diagnosed with some kind of a disease, I don't care what the disease is, doesn't matter. Part of that disease process is emotional baggage. Now, you might do everything else right, but if you don't handle and address the emotional component to the disease, you might not get over the disease. Think about it. Emotional baggage is the underlying cause in most cases of things like depression and anxiety and phobias and panic attacks,
even cancer and things like that. If you have a trauma that's so strong that you can't let go. That's why you hear of people who are like, you know, vegan and they take care of themselves and they work out, but then they get cancer and you're like, how? I mean, they didn't sniff paint when they were five. So what? Right. How do they have it? And then you start asking the questions and you start, there is emotional baggage. I mean, look, even if you look at your own life, my own life, I mean, I have plenty of traumas that I went through when I was younger and, you know, in my 20s and things like that, the things that happened to me that I thought I'd gotten rid of.
Yeah.
And one specific thing I had one of the most traumatic things that ever happened to me is I almost made a movie for a mobster, a $20 million movie for a mobster. And I was caught into the world of the mob. I was kind of like trapped and I was verbally abused and physically threatened daily by a bipolar gangster. And then I was flown out and I was flown out and I met all the biggest stars in the world. I was meeting movie stars and very powerful people in Hollywood. So can you imagine the both of those things, the emotional charge of your dream almost coming true to being tortured for a year by the person who's allowing you to get access to your dream almost coming true. So this happened when I was 26. I let go of it. I thought that I processed it all. And it only when I started writing my first book did I realize that it just all came rushing back out of me. Mm-hmm. And I was crying when I was writing the book. I was like, oh my God, I can't. And by the way, never thought about it seriously for 15 years. Just didn't even, so it's not like, oh, poor me. It's like a trauma. It was something that was hanging out in the subconscious. And I could only imagine, once I wrote that book, a lot of that energy came out, but I still even recognize now that I still have more that I have to process. I have to maybe do a session with you.
Yeah. Well, we all have baggage and, it's really interesting. Let me share something that happened with me. One of the most profound healing experiences that I have had didn't happen until a couple of years after the Emotion Code book came out. So this was in about 2009. I asked my daughter to work on me and see if she could find anything going on. And I thought I'd cleared out all my emotional baggage, years before. So I hung up the phone with her. She starts working on me. She was about 1,000 miles away at the time. And that's another interesting thing about this is that energy is not bound by distance at all in any way, because we are truly all interconnected. So anyway, she starts working on me and she told me later what happened. She said that right away, she found that I had some emotional baggage. It was a trapped emotional energy and the emotion was hopelessness. And she found that I had received this from my father when I was conceived. He'd gotten it from his mother when he was conceived, and she'd gotten it from her mother. And so my daughter traced it back and it goes back 22 generations, right?
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, my daughter can feel that there's somebody standing next to her and she can tell who it is. She knows who it is intuitively. It's this grandmother that this started with probably back in the 1400s. And she can feel this woman's emotions. She can feel how desperate she is that this energy be released from her posterity. She can also feel how overwhelmed with gratitude she is that this is being done. So check this out. Wow. My daughter releases this, right? And she can feel it release. And the grandmother is gone. She feels it ripple through all those generations. And I had given it to her. I had passed that emotion of hopelessness to my daughter when she was conceived. Well, so what happened with me, I know my daughter's working on me, but I don't really know what's going on. But all of a sudden, something really crazy happens. All of my waking hours, all of my life, I had had this background feeling, this low level kind of a feeling of hopelessness. It was like background music that I didn't even recognize. But it was this low level feeling of hopelessness that was always there every waking hour until suddenly my daughter released that and suddenly shut off and it was gone. This energy was gone. And it was the first time in my life that I actually knew that it was even there. And
right. And
I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I've had that my whole life now. Now that it's gone, I recognize it. And it changed my life. In fact, during the time that I was writing the Emotion Code book, I remember very distinctly. I mean, I would have to, I'd have to psych myself up, you know, watch Tony Robbins or really positive motivational videos and things to try to get myself over this feeling of hopelessness. Right. Because if anybody would have asked me when I was writing the book to describe in one word how the project felt without any hesitation, I would have used the word hopeless. I would have said, well, it feels hopeless. But it really did, but I'm continuing. So my daughter, I had passed that to her, right? Well, my daughter is one of the most amazing painters. She's a painter and she's
an artist,
unbelievably talented artist. But you know what? That never manifested until that hopelessness, that antique energy from hundreds of years ago was released. And then all of a sudden she starts painting. And about a year after this happened, my wife and I went up to Seattle where she lived. She had an art show and all this artwork is just pouring out of her. It's unbelievable. But I think that if that had not been released, she probably never would have painted anything because whenever she would think about it, she'd probably just feel hopeless, right? So think about, right. You know, think about your own ancestors and what have they go through, right? And what are you carrying that was really from them?
Well, it's very interesting too, because you start looking at the concept of, you know, so many of us carry from our parents the concept of lack, or that life is hard, or
right,
or you have to work hard for money, and there's, you know, if you've got something, then you're taking it away from me, and the struggle, yes, that all this kind of energy,
yes,
and that's where I mean my lineage comes from that, from, you know, I came. My parents were born in Cuba. My grandparents were born in Cuba. Their grandparents were born in Spain. But it was all this kind of like hustling hard. Everything has to be grinding it out and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And a lot of that took me a while to let go of. You know, I'd still work hard because that's in my nature, but not the way I used to, in the sense, yeah, of lack. Of like, I'm fearful if I don't do this, I'm not going to eat, which, by the way, not one day in my life, thank God, have I ever been hungry. You know, I've never had that issue in this life. So it was just fascinating to see how that energy continues to go forward. And now we're trying to break that from our children, because my wife also had that same energy, by the way, from, yeah, where she came from. So both of us together, we actively consciously trying to let our children know that that's not the way it is. And it still slips out of, yeah, us sometimes when we say like, oh, that's too expensive. Or why spend money on that? Then we catch ourselves with that. Like, no. And we have to explain to them, no, it's not worth the money. It's not that we can't afford it. It's not worth things like that. But those are those little things. You're right. It does carry along through generations.
Yeah, well, you know, they've done studies. The most famous study, I think, so far that they've done on this kind of thing is where they took mice. And what they would do is they would, for this group of mice, they would give a puff of cherry blossom scent into the cage at the same time that they would shock the mice. Pretty quickly after doing that a few times, the mice developed this aversion. If they would smell the cherry blossom scent, of course, you know, they would freeze or whatever.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
Well, so then what happened was those mice had offspring, and those offspring were also sensitive to this cherry blossom scent. Now the scientists are trying to figure out, well, they've never smelled this before. Why are they sensitive to it? Why do they have a reaction the moment they smell it, just like the parents did? And so they're trying to figure out, you know, what was going on, how this was being passed down. They still don't know. Okay. But it's this, it's emotional baggage. That's what it is. Anyway, so what they did is they took sperm from the male mice. Okay. And they went across to the other side of the campus, and they impregnated some female mice that had never been shocked, never been exposed to cherry blossom scent. And sure enough, those offspring had the same aversion, right? They smell it. Boom. They have the freeze reaction. And so they're still trying to figure out, see how this works, but it's all about energy. It's all about emotional baggage. And so think about this. I mean, imagine if maybe your eighth great grandmother was jilted at the altar, right?
Right.
And so that energy now, that grief, that upset has been passing down maybe. And maybe that's why you're having a problem finding your soulmate. Or, you know, maybe your 20th great grandfather was thrown into debtor's prison. And maybe now that's why you have a problem with money. See, I'm telling you, this kind of thing, we all have this, this emotional energy. And it's really something.
So let me ask you then, because I mean, we had enough trouble before knowing that we had to carry our own baggage from this life, let alone now bringing generations of baggage with us.
I know, sorry.
So now I feel much more overwhelmed. Thank you. But how do you, let's say you are actively trying to figure this out. How do you release it within yourself?
Well, the emotion code makes it really, really simple. Actually, you can do it on yourself. You can have someone else do it for you. We have practitioners all over the world. We have almost 10,000 emotion code practitioners that we've trained and certified in over 80 countries. If you go to discoverhealing.com, that's our site, you can see a map, Google map of the whole world with everybody on there. So you can have somebody work with you. But it also is, it's all in the book. So to work on yourself, what we do is we teach a number of different methods of self-muscle testing, okay? Mm-hmm. And so you can use different methods, like this is the ring and ring method. You can ask questions and the rings will stay strong for yes, they'll weaken for no. And then when you find a trapped emotion, it's a pretty simple process. We have a little flow chart. Most people can release a trapped emotion, find one or release one in about a minute. Okay, so it's not a long drawn out thing. And then you can use a magnet or your hand, and you just start at the forehead and go over the top of the head to the back of the neck a few times. And that's it. It's kind of like taking a credit card out of your wallet, you know, and rubbing a magnet on that magnetic strip. It just kind of rearranges things.
That's fascinating. I got to ask you, what led you to this kind of work? Because this is generally not taught at medical school.
No. Well, it's really interesting. It was really an answer to prayer that got me into the healing arts. I went to chiropractic school, became a chiropractor. And because it was an answer to prayer, I thought, well, you know, God's gotten me into this, maybe he'll help me. And so I developed this habit, and the habit was before I'd go to work on someone, I would just take a moment, and it was a totally private, totally personal thing. I would just have this little momentary pause, and I would just say, Father in heaven, I could use some help with this person. Thank you. And, so I'll tell you what I found, Alex, during all those years. That was a habit that I had all those years, and nobody ever knew that I was asking for help. But what I was trying to do is acknowledge a couple of things. I was trying to acknowledge my own limitation, right? And also open that channel, that conduit, if you will, to the heavens, right? To the higher power. You know, we all believe different things, but I believe that God is real. I know that he's real and that he lives and he loves us and so on. And so, so there were times during those years when somebody would come in to see me and I didn't know how to help them. I didn't know how to approach their issue. And I would ask this silent prayer for help, and the information would just flood in sometimes like an avalanche, you know, of understanding. That didn't happen very often. I mean, in all those years, I can count those occurrences on one hand. But I was just desperate to figure out what was really wrong with my patients. I was obsessed with getting to the roots and really fixing people. I didn't want to Band-Aid people. I wanted to really find out why does this person, what's really going on? Why does this woman have these migraine headaches, you know, for 20 years? Or, you know, what's wrong with this guy's back? Or why does this kid have asthma, right? Or why does this person have Crohn's disease? And so as time went on, the patients that came to see me had more and more difficult issues, right? Until during the last 10 years that I was in practice, most of the people that I saw had been told there was really no help for them at all in Western medicine. But I knew how to access the internal computer. See, I used to be a computer programmer. I took a programming class at college in Hawaii in 1980. And that was the beginning for me of becoming a professional computer programmer. But then when I went into, when I became a chiropractor and I went into practice, I was starting to learn that this internal computer system that everyone carries around can be accessed. And that's what all this work that we do is based on, the emotion code, the body code, everything.
Can you talk a little bit about the subconscious again? Because it's something so powerful that people really don't know a whole lot about. I've done a lot of research. I'm a neuroscience nerd, so I kind of like love reading about neuroscience. And when I heard about the subconscious and how the subconscious kind of basically runs the show. I mean, runs basically 95% of what we do, because we don't think about breathing. We don't think about this or that. And I always use the example of like, have you ever been driving in a car and then you completely space out for 10 minutes while you're driving and you're like, how did I get here? But yet you were stopping, you were, you know, turning on the right when you're supposed to turn right, because it was something that you've probably done a ton of times. But that's the subconscious mind doing things like that. Even just your everyday movements and habits and things like that are run by the subconscious. So can you talk a little bit about the subconscious mind and then the part it plays with why it holds on to this? Is there like an evolutionary reason why it holds on to this emotional baggage?
Well, you know, I think that there is. I mean, when you have an emotional reaction that happens, that's a message from the deep subconscious. It's based on what's going on in the moment, but also based on what's happened in the past. And so there's this reptilian brain that we have that's really geared for survival and to helping us survive. And so if something happens in the future that happened in the past or that's similar, then, you know, the body can try to help you to avoid that and so on. A great example, for example, is allergies. If you, for example, are, let's say that you're having an argument with somebody and you're getting really upset and you happen to also be eating French fries. Well, you may suddenly develop an allergy to French fries because your subconscious mind relates the French fry to the rage or whatever it is.
Like the rose blossom, the rose smell for the rats.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes if you can just remove the emotional baggage about that thing, then you don't have the allergy anymore, that kind of thing. I have to share a story with you. One of my patients told me this story because he reminded me of this when you were talking about driving down the road and not really being conscious. This patient of mine told me that she really wanted a home. She wanted a cabin. And so what she would do is she would spend time every day thinking about the cabin. And she would imagine herself being in the cabin, and it was in a meadow, and it was in the mountains. And she would get all of her senses involved in this kind of a deep meditation about this cabin. And one day she said she was so deep in meditation that she ended up getting off the freeway at some off ramp and found herself in the middle of, she didn't know where, in LA. And she snaps out of her reverie and realizes she's completely lost. Well, it was not long after that. And this is going to, It's going to sound made up, but this is what she told me. Not long after that, she got a letter that this uncle of hers had passed away and left her a cabin.
We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. And now back to the show.
And so she was kind of blown away when she went up to check this out. It was exactly the place that she'd been visualizing in her mind, right? Our subconscious minds, I think, are so incredibly powerful. You know, I'll tell you something. I used to teach for years. I taught that the subconscious mind is 90% of our intelligence and that we only use 10% of our intelligence consciously. And then after a long time of that, I thought, you know, it can't be 10%. Maybe it's 5%. Okay, so 5%. And then it was only a few years ago that I realized, you know, I've never really asked about this because you can ask the subconscious mind questions. So I started asking some questions, and what I found was that, and this will probably sound crazy, but I believe that from the testing, what we use consciously is 0.00000001% of our intelligence. That's how much we use consciously. Now, if you think about it, people who die and they go to the other side, they start to get that they start to get access again to that subconscious intelligence, and they start to be able to use that. And so people report things like, you know, asking as many questions as they want when they die and they go to the other side, and all the answers flow in instantaneously. They're all understood perfectly. I think that in this world, our ability to access all that intelligence is very, very limited to us. And so I think there are divine reasons for that.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's no mistake that we're here, but I think we're all dialed back to a point where we're just shy of stupid. It's amazing to me that any of us can function at all, honestly.
No, and it's getting stupider by the day, my friend. I mean, all I gotta do is turn the television on.
And you just like that.
What is going on? Like, this is insane. Has it always been this way? And we're just now seeing more of it because everyone's got a camera. Like, were we this stupid in the 70s? Like, I don't understand. Was it, you know, but now it just seems like,
Welcome to planet Earth. Huh?
Exactly. And you were mentioning something earlier about where a lot of this emotional baggage and how it affects other people and things outside of you is you can start looking at every major dictator or, you know, villain in history, or not even in history, currently, that live in the world, that they're causing so much pain and suffering in the world. But if you dig in, they have to have some sort of trauma, some sort of emotional baggage that they're trying to work out on the world stage, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think that's true. We have as a major tenet of our work that you don't work on people unless you have their permission. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to get permission to work on some of these people.
So open some stuff up, man, because Jesus, if we could have worked on Genghis Khan or Alexander the Great, maybe we could
have changed history.
Could have changed history without question. Now, where can people find out more about you and the work you do?
Well, our main website is at discoverhealing.com. Mm-hmm. And we have information there about certification. People can learn how to do the emotion code just from reading the emotion code book. And that's great. If you want to get really good at it, we have certification courses you can go through, and then you can actually do it for a living if you want to. And so it's a wonderful way to supplement your income or have a completely new career if you want. It's not difficult. And luckily, you know, we live in such an amazing age now. I mean, we have people. In fact, I met a guy who was in Istanbul a few weeks ago. We did a seminar or an event there. And there was a young guy that came there with his wife and three little kids. And he came up to me and he said how much this work has changed his life. He works with 10 to 15 people every day. He works 7 days a week. Wow. My wife said, you know, you really need to take Sundays off. He said, oh, okay, I'll consider that. But he's doing, you know, the guy is doing really, really well. Most of his clients are from the United States. And so, you know, we have people working with other people all over the world, and it's really an amazing thing. And I'm grateful just to be able to be part of it.
And I'm going to ask you a few questions I ask all my guests. What is your definition of living a good life?
Living a good life, I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's living in such a way that you feel that your life is aligned with the will of heaven or the higher power for you, right? And it's developing your ability to love others unconditionally. You know, the material things that we have, they're fun and they're fine, but when you die, you can't take any of that with you. And when people die, and they happen to come back and tell about it, they're often asked, how much love were you able to develop for your fellow beings in the world? And how much knowledge were you able to gain? So I think that's a clue.
Yeah, without question. Like I always say, you never see a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. It just generally, no, definitely not there. Now, what is your mission in this life?
Well, my mission in this life is to just bring these healing methods to the world. It is my purpose and it is my mission, and it's a calling that has been given to me from above, and all the spiritual experiences that I have had that have taught me all of these deep truths about God, about our existence here, what we're doing here, how these bodies of ours really literally are temples that our spirits inhabit. How our memories before we come into this world are kind of wiped out for us, or there's a veil put over our minds so we can't remember things. A lot of those stories actually are in the emotion code. But all of those things that have happened to me have prepared me to be the spokesman, to be the teacher, to bring this healing work into the world, because the world really needs it. The world has to change. The way I look at it, to me, it's like the earth is in labor trying to bring forth this new world. Yeah. And, you know, labor is no fun. And that's kind of what we're experiencing now. But I think the world that is coming is going to be so unbelievably different and so incredibly amazing that I think we can't really begin to wrap our minds around it at this point.
And what is the ultimate purpose of life?
Well, the ultimate purpose of life, I believe, is to really become to grow ourselves by learning the differences and the choices that we make. You know, we're free to choose. We're in a perfect testing environment. We can choose right. We can choose wrong. Whatever we choose, we learn. If we make bad choices, we learn from those. We make good choices, mm-hmm. we learn from those. And hopefully we make more good choices than bad choices. And gradually, I believe what it's about for us is to become ascended beings. And that's all about unconditional love. See, I think it's all about totally accepting the people that are in our lives, accepting what's going on in the world, and becoming vessels of love, and eventually getting through this life and returning back home to where we came from, home to our Father in heaven, who loves us unconditionally. And completely, and wants nothing but success for us. And I think that's the ultimate success, is to get through this life successfully, or in other words, to navigate it and choose more good than bad. And you know, we all make bad choices, but we learn from those things. And then eventually to go home. That's what I want, eventually to go home.
Bradley, I appreciate you coming on the show, and thank you so much for the amazing work you're doing and helping so many people around the world. I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks again.
Thank you, Alex.
I know we all carry a bit of emotional baggage with us, but now we know that it could be hurting us in more than one way. So if you want to get links to anything we spoke about in this episode, including how to reach out to Dr. Brad or pick up any of his books or watch his videos, head over to the show notes at nextlevelsoul.com/114. And if you've only been listening to this over podcast and you want to watch these amazing conversations, please subscribe to our YouTube channel at nextlevelsoul.com/YouTube. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, trust the journey. It is here to teach you. I'll talk to you soon.